Alrighty, good morning everybody and happy Monday. This is your boy Vlad again with another episode of Guys at the Roundtable. And so today's episode, we're going to talk about quitting again. I know it's an overdue topic on this thing, but Saturday night, my girl and I had a heart-to-heart conversation. Mostly it was just me venting and, you know, bitching about a lot of things in life and just venting a lot of my frustrations, essentially. And she dropped something on me that made me really think from that day on, and especially all night, Sunday night. And then I kind of want to share this thought process with you guys and see what you guys are thinking as well. And, you know, maybe it could help somebody out there in the long run as well, because that's why we do this podcast, right? To help people and bring a community together to discuss hard topics. So we're going to talk about why I quit things when it gets too difficult, and why people tend to quit things as well when life gets a little too difficult. So let's explore this concept and just have some fun with it. This is Guys at the Roundtable, and we start now.
Guys of the Roundtable, grab a chair and join in the conversation by calling 347-934-0036 or tweet us at GOTR Podcast. Guys of the Roundtable starts now.
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of Guys at Roundtable. It is Monday morning, and yeah. So this is reason 1,162 of why I love my girlfriend, because this chick is real. All right, this chick will tell me what I need to hear and not bullshit with me, and she doesn't care. All right, well, she does care because she tells me it to kind of help me benefit from personal growth and whatnot. And this is she's an awesome woman, and I've never been so like in love and proud to say this out loud, because this is not me, right? I don't usually say this stuff out loud, but I really am proud to be in love with this girl, and then that she is my girlfriend, and that she's willing to tell me the truth about myself, and I in turn am willing to listen to her truth and try to change as a human being, because that's just how I know I'm in love, right? It's like you hear a truth about yourself, usually the common response is F you know, you get mad, but instead I kind of like thought about it introspectively and I was like, huh, she has a point. And then I'm trying to take the necessary steps to make myself a better human being because of it. But anyways, Saturday night, we were sleeping. It was like 4 a.m, so technically Sunday morning. Because I couldn't sleep. And then she woke up because obviously she's pregnant, so she has to go do one of her million bathroom runs. And she couldn't go back to fall asleep right away either. So we kind of just laid there for like about 15, 20 minutes and we just talked. And, well, I mostly talked. And she kind of gave her opinions and she chimed in as well. But long introduction or story short is that I've mentioned all of my frustrations in life and pretty much went back through my life, and then she pretty much just dropped the bombshells like, Vlad, it seems like when things get a little too difficult, you quit. And when she first dropped that on me, I was just kind of like, whoa, I didn't know how to react. So I paused for a second, because in my mind I was thinking, okay, should I be mad about this? Should I be upset? You know what I mean? Should I clap back with something witty like I always do? Because trust me, I always come back with some snarky, smart aleck remark, right? Because that's just who I am as an individual. Like, you say something witty to me, I say something extra witty back, right? But instead, I paused. And I thought about it. I dissected the information that she gave me, and I was just like, you know what, babe? You're right. Because I usually do quit things when they get too difficult. Okay, and I went back in life and I thought about it, because I've shared these experiences with you on the podcast when I played college football, right? I walked on to West Virginia University and played safety, and I quit the team because I thought it was a safer option to go to med school. And I rationalized it by saying med school was the safer option, when realistically medical school and making it to the quote unquote NFL, well, rather it's more likely you become a doctor, but the odds of getting into med school is about the same as getting into the NFL, because it's, you got thousands of kids competing for 17 spots in med school, and then the NFL is the same thing, right? But in the NFL, you have thousands of kids competing for one of 32 spots, 32 times 7, so it's about 300 and some odd positions. But, you know, you don't usually make the team because there's a 53-man roster, so your odds of making it to the NFL is about 17%, right? So it's about the same as your odds of making it into med school, but the only reason why med school seems more appealing is because there's more med schools to get into than there is in the NFL. So unless you're willing to, you know, uproot your entire life and move to another state to go to med school, your chances of getting into a med school in your state or where you want to is very similar to about getting into the NFL. And that's what people don't want you to believe as well, because they, you know, everybody wants you to think that med school is the right way to go, which it is. But the NFL, you have just as good of a chance with the NFL as you do in med school. Just the point. But anywho's, I thought that, you know, if I chose to go to med school, it would be the safer option, because that's what I was studying in school. I was a bio major, and I would have had to gone to 8 o'clock classes, 5 a.m. workouts, 8 o'clock classes, and it'll be just going on all day. So I made the decision for myself to just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to take the safe route. I'm going to go quit football and go to med school, right? And so that's what I did. And then in the process of quitting football, you know, like if you haven't heard the story, long story short again, just to give you a quick recap, is I could have possibly made it to the starter as on a Division I school, because the two safeties that were ahead of me went to one graduated, one went pro early. And then two guys transferred out of there. And then another safety got transferred into a receiver. So, you know, the four or five people that were ahead of me, I could have made that depth chart bump and had a chance. You know what I mean? Now, granted, there's freshmen coming in, but, you know, the upperclassmen always get the chance to start first. So I would have had a chance to start on West Virginia's football team, which is amazing. But I quit that because I deemed it to be difficult. Is essentially what that whole rant and, you know, story is there, right? Then I do the smart thing, and I go to, you know, I try to get myself ready to get to med school. I do well in school, well enough to graduate, right? I graduated, thank you, Lordy. That was my honors. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. And so I eventually did get into med school. And then upon sitting in med school, right, I realized that this wasn't for me. It was because it was like going into med school, you're already like six chapters behind, technically speaking, right? Because they go into hella depth with the biology stuff, right? They really go into depth, because when you're in college and you're a bio major, you learn the basics of biology, right? You really do, until you get to your senior year, and then you start to learn the intricacies of like how everything works. You understand the life cycle of the mitochondria. You understand the cell cycle of the mitochondria, actual cell, how things get from point A to point B. You learn the breakdowns of how DNA is broken down and everything like that. So you learn that in your senior year. But when you get to med school, you learn the smaller details in that, you know what I mean? So you learn everything, and you learn about the pancreas, you learn about the heart, you learn it about the lungs, you learn the same details you learn about the cell cycle in like regular biology, you have to learn it now in every single part of your body in med school. And so you're technically behind six chapters essentially in med school. And I didn't feel like the time that I would put into med school was worth it for me. So essentially, med school was difficult, and I said, F it, and I quit. All right? And so with that being said, it's like, you know, I looked at that, and I was just like, holy crap, she's right. When things get difficult in my life, I tend to quit it, unless it's something I want to do, right? Because I want to do this MMA thing, and it is very difficult to get into it, but yet here I am still training for it. Here I am still pushing and grinding and doing what I need to do to get there, right? I'm in this relationship. It's this relationship in the beginning was hella difficult because I made it difficult, right? Because, and yet here I stand, you know, still fighting, still pushing and trying to evolve myself as a human being to be a better man for her, right? And now we have a kid in the way, and it's even more like, it's even more, not pressure, but it's even more motivation for me to become a better human being for her and now our kid. On a side note, man, I don't understand how people could just leave on a pregnancy, because damn it, this shit is amazing. We are creating life. And she has this app that hears the heartbeat, and man, I am like listening to this shit on replay. It's like my soundtrack, and it's crazy. So, you know, I don't understand how other men can just dip out, but maybe I will understand eventually, like the hardness of it, but, you know, I digress. And that was a pleasant digression, because I wanted to put that out there. This pregnancy is amazing. I'm enjoying every step of it. And being a dad is still, to me, is like a trip that Vladimir Jean-Philippe is going to be a dad, you know? So I'm still tripping over it, and I'm still proud of it. And you can hear it in my voice, and I don't give a damn if you heard it too many times. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm super happy. But anywho's, but yeah. When things in my life get difficult, I tend to quit. And so my relationship started off difficult, right? But I wanted to stay in it. And so I therefore pushed myself to become a better human being for her sake. And she made the decision to stay, to stick with me as well, because she saw something in me that was positive. And she, you know, was like, hey, I want to fight for this. And she fought like hell and through hell and high water for me. And I did for her too. You know what I mean? I bought her meat. That's how we made out. I'll tell you that story on a later date, but it was pretty funny. But, yeah, so when I decide to, that it's something that I want to do, and it's something that I'm willing to go through hell and back for, I'm willing to do it. But if it's something I don't want to do, and it's like a slight, the slightest inconvenience makes me quit, med school, football, past relationships, you know, that's why I didn't date for the longest time before I met my girlfriend, because, you know, I was in a relationship where it ended very sourly, right? And I was just like, screw this. I don't want to be in this position anymore or ever again. I decided not to date until Crystal came along in my life, and now here I am going to be a dad and a husband. It's just so weird and awkward, but I love it. You know what I mean? So to me, it's just like, I fell victim to the whole narrative of too difficult, you know, you quit. And if I can fall victim to that, I know for a fact that other people out there that, you know, kind of go through the same situations in life. And so I know I've talked about it a lot in past podcasts, because me and Andy have come on here and really talk about like why people quit and how you should always push through. You know, it's a very common theme, and it, for me, it's a revolving theme. And I never realized that in my life, because you don't realize patterns in your life, and you just keep repeating the same thing over and over. And that's why people go crazy in their lives and they can't figure out why, because you're repeating the same stupid mistakes. You know what I mean? It takes somebody else to kind of like, kind of point out your inefficiencies, right? It took my girlfriend to tell me, like, Vlad, you quit when things get hard, to make me self-aware. It's like, holy shit. Yeah, I do quit when things are hard, you know? And now that I'm aware of it, I want to take the necessary steps to correct that. You know what I mean? So this is why I'm kind of like doing this podcast, because I could have kept this to myself and just been like, okay, I got to go do this, this, and this. But if there's somebody out there that can benefit from this, you know, I want to put it out there and help that person become a better human being. Because why do I need to, you know what I mean? It's like, we already have enough negativity out there. I want to spread some more positivity and create a community where we can come together and, you know, grow as individuals, like try to be better men and women, children and adults at the same, you know what I mean? All the same. So then I think about like, why is it that we quit? Okay. Like after I realized that, you know, I quit when things get difficult, and then I go, why do we quit? And it goes back to, you know, the whole things of, well, we're creatures of habit, right? We tend to get into a comfort zone, and that's where we stay. We don't want to move from that comfort zone. It's like, because life is already hard enough, right? It's like life is always punching. If you're a man, it's always punching you in the balls, and if you're a girl, it's always punching you in the taint, right? Or in the cha-cha, right? It just sucks. The pain is constant, and once it gets you down, it's just like a constant pressure. It just keeps bombarding on you over and over and over, and you don't know what the hell to do sometimes. And so when we get to a place where we're comfortable, we tend to hang out there a little bit because we get some reprieve from all the pressures of life, right? Excuse me. We feel comfortable. It's like, oh my God, finally we got to somewhere where we're comfortable. And then all of a sudden something else happens, and then you're uncomfortable again, and then now the stress kicks in. You know what I mean? So your brain, mentally or psychologically speaking, right? You quit things because it's too much stress. It's a stressor in your life that you don't want to deal with because you like the comfortness. Once you enter a comfortness, it's so relaxing, it's so soothing. You're just like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to stand here for a while. It's like running a marathon, right? It's like the marathon is like 26 point something miles, 26.3, I believe it is. But you're running a marathon, right? The beginning of the marathon sucks because you're uncomfortable. It's like you can't get comfortable. You're trying to find your pace. You're trying to find your rhythm. Right? So mile 1 through 2, it's like the shittiest miles you're going to run because you're not comfortable. You're just getting started. Right? And then you go on further in the mile. Now you got miles 3, 4, 5, 6. And then now you're starting to get in a rhythm. Right? Your body starts to relax a little bit. And you're like, okay, we're doing this. And then your body goes into cruise control in like mile 7, 8, 9, and 10. Right? Because like miles 3 to 6, you're starting to get comfortable. The fatigueness is starting to kick out. You're catching your second wind a bit, right? And then 6, 7, 8, and 9, now it's in cruise control, right? And then now miles 10 through, I want to say 10 to 13 again, it's more uncomfortable because now you've been running for a while, so your pace starts to slow down a little bit. Your body's like, oh, my God, we need to catch a break, right? That's life. And then there's the water fountain. And then, you know what I mean? There's like the people with the cups of water. And then you take a swig of water, and that's like rejuvenates you a little bit. And now he's like, okay, good. We can go again. And then now it's like, you know, you get to mile 14, 15, 16, 17. You get to stride again. Right? Until, and this keeps going on and on in your body and in your mind until you get to like the last leg of the mile. And then you realize it's like, oh my God, we're almost done. And your mind goes, oh shit, we're almost done. You know what I mean? Your brain is telling you to push through, but your body is fatigued, right? Your brain is like, we're almost done. Let's go. Let's go. But your body's like, screw this. We've been running forever, man. I don't want to do this no more, right? And all it wants to do is just find a reprieve and just chill until you cross that finish line. And then once you cross that finish line, what do you see most runners do? They collapse, and then they're just like, oh. And then they lay there for a while because they're comfortable. Right? Because you're done with the suck. The suck is done. You know what I mean? Now you get to just relax a little bit. The suck is done and you can just go chill. And that's life. You know what I mean? Life is exactly like that marathon run. You know what I mean? There's a spot where it's like it gets comfortable. Right? And then you find your groove, and you just like, okay, this is great. And then you just stick there for a while. You find a decent job that you're comfortable with. You know what I mean? You find a girl that you kind of like, but you don't really like. But it's, you know, the relationship's going good, so you don't want to mess with it too much. So you just kind of chill. You know what I mean? Instead of trying to do better and, you know, always improving on the situation, you just chill because it's comfortable there. You don't want to move anymore because why? There's no you see no point in you know, in improving because you're already good. You got it, you know? And that's why you see a lot of people in their lives where they're uber comfortable. And then the slightest inconvenience happens, and then it's like a big ordeal. You know what I mean? It's like they make a big deal out of it, and then it's like that inconvenience is over, and then they're like, okay, we're good now. You know what I mean? It's like those, we call them overly dramatic people, but realistically, it's just that they're so comfortable, the slightest inconvenience bothers them. You know what I mean? They don't push themselves to be uncomfortable. And we have to push ourselves to be uncomfortable. And David Goggins talks about this all the time. And if you don't know his story, I suggest you Google it. And he's an amazing story because he used to be fat and out of shape. And then he went through the Navy SEALs training. And if you don't know what Navy SEALs training is, it's this ridiculously hard training that the Navy SEALs do to become Special Force Rangers or something like that. To be Navy SEALs. That's like the elite Special Force Ranger people, I guess. I'm not really good with my military terms, but they're the best of the best, essentially. And, you know, he went through Hell Week three times in his life. And now he's just like, you know, this guy that kind of talks about, he's an inspirational, motivational speaker, and he's a very darn good one. He's very, very inspirational. Now he runs ultra marathons all the time, but I bring him up because he talks about embracing the suck in life. And that's what people don't want to do, is embrace the suck. There's going to be periods in your life where things are just going to straight up just be uncomfortable. Right? And you have to be able to embrace that uncomfortableness to push yourself outside of that zone to continuously get better as a human being. Because the moment you get comfortable, things go to hell. You know what I mean? Because life is designed for you to always constantly trying to evolve. That's why a human civilization went from primitive to where we are today, very technically advanced, right? And then we're still pushing that envelope to become even more advanced. You know what I mean? You have to push those envelopes because you can't stay in that area of comfort too long. Once you stay comfortable too long, the slightest inconvenience bothers you. And then once you're bothered, now you just want to kind of, you want that inconvenience to go away. So mentally, we're designed, we're not designed, but mentally speaking, or psychologically speaking, once we get comfortable, we're comfortable. And we don't want to do any better. And then, so that's why we become dramatic when things become start to inconvenience us slightly. And also, on the psychological aspect, quitting is the easiest thing that we can do in life. It's like the easiest choice you can make. It truly is. Because it's like, why bother? You know what I mean? It's like, why do that? And that's why people, like when you hear people do great things, it's like they're not extraordinary people. They're just people that never quit doing what they wanted to do. So like when you see all these professional athletes, you too could have been a professional athlete, but you chose not to. You know what I mean? It's like you didn't put the time and the dedication into honing and perfecting your craft to get to that point. You kind of let the slightest inconvenience tell you, it's like, okay, you can't do this. And then you agreed with it and then you just quit. You know what I mean? These athletes are really not that much more. I hate when people say these athletes are God-given. Or they have God-given talents. Like, no, not necessarily. They have the same amount of talent that everybody else has. It's just that they were willing to go the extra mile into making their talents work for them. You know what I mean? They didn't quit when the going got tough. Because that's the apt title for this podcast. It's like, when the going gets tough, we usually quit. And that's true. You know? Nobody is really technically special. Okay? We tend to put ourselves in bad situations, and we just kind of tell ourselves that we can't do it. And your mind is going to be, is a very powerful thing. If you tell it you can't do something, it won't do something. Your body won't do something. You know what I mean? Your mind tells your body what to do. And if your mind says we can't do this, your body will usually listen. If you say you can do this, the body usually follows suit and it will continue to push. So essentially, quitting starts in our mind. And my mind, and this is just me now, my mind was weak. It really was, because I couldn't deal with the difficulties of what it is that I wanted to do at the time, because I didn't wholeheartedly like what I was doing at the time. So I found any excuse, any and every excuse to kind of quit. Now, granted, I love football. I really do. I truly love football. My girlfriend can attest to this. I will watch football all day, every day, if it wasn't for her. And honestly, technically speaking, even when we are together, I kind of sneak football in on the side, either on her iPad or on my phone. You know what I mean? So I truly do love football. Now, why did I quit playing football for West Virginia? Because, you know, it was tough. It really was. Practice was hell. I had to wake up at 4 o'clock every morning to go get ready to go to practice by 5:30. That's lifting. You know what I mean? And then 6 o'clock runs, and then there's strength and conditioning, and then breakfast, and then go to class, and then go back to practice, watch film. It was just a pain in the ass. It really was. And I didn't want to do that and do the coursework that I was doing in school. And so I decided that I would rather go do the medical thing, because let's be honest, I chased the prestige of trying to become a doctor more than I actually enjoyed being a doctor. And this is just me talking and being honest with myself and being honest with you guys. I, you know, chose to be a doctor because I liked the prestige of it. When I said that I was going to be a doctor, I loved the feedback everybody was giving me. So I was more in love with the compliments and the feedback that everybody was giving me than the actual thing itself, right? I liked medicine because, like I said, my mom had this book. Well, not like I said, but as I mentioned before in a previous podcast, my mom had these medical books that I would read, and I was very in love with them. And I always say this saying, I'm in love with science, but science doesn't love me, right? Because I truly enjoy learning about the human body, but science doesn't love me because it's science, and it's not going to change itself to make it easier for me to understand it. Okay, so I didn't take the time to go and understand it. Science is like a complicated woman. You have to take the time to understand it and see what it wants and then make the necessary changes to go do that. And I wasn't willing to do that. Oh, my girlfriend's going to yell at me for that one, but it's okay. I don't care. We'll have something to talk about, I guess. You know, but, you know, it's the truth, though. I like science for what science, or I wanted to be a doctor for what position offered. I tricked myself into thinking that I wanted to help people, and that's why I wanted to go to med school. But realistically, when I went to when I got my second degree in psychology, the counselor that I was talking to on the phone was, well, is going into medicine the only way that you can help people? And when he asked me that question, that really blew my mind at the time, because I was like, wait a minute. Whoa, I could help people in other ways. I didn't understand that. And now I truly understand that there's other ways you can help people. It's not through medicine and saving lives. You can help people through, you know, affecting change in their mindset, helping them change the way that they view life, helping them deal with life. You know what I mean? So there's different ways. Once you said there's different ways to help people, my mind opened up and I was just like, okay. So I really was in school to be a doctor just because I wanted to have that prestige. And I was praise chasing instead of, you know, chasing the thing that I love to do. And that's when I fell in love with MMA. I mean, I got my psych degree and I really enjoy psychology because it's very fascinating. And I love understanding how people think, feel, and react to certain situations and things in their lives and helping them deal with that. But it made me find that I loved MMA, and that's where my passion is right now, right? And that's what makes me enjoy the suck. I'm enjoying the suck of trying to chase this MMA thing because I really enjoy practicing. I love going to the gym and working on an arm bar, and I love perfecting my roundhouse kick, working on my wheel kick, working on my punching. How do I make this stronger? How do I make this more efficient? You know what I mean? I love doing all that stuff. And once I discovered that, you know, that I loved MMA, all of the crappy stuff that came with it, I didn't mind so much. And so that's when I realized that, you know, my girlfriend is totally right. And she's usually right 99% of the time. And I hate that. But, you know, I quit because it was difficult. And why did I quit because it was difficult? Because I didn't enjoy the things that I said that I thought that I loved, that I enjoyed, you know? So it makes sense now to me now that I think about it because, you know, I thought I liked those things, but I really didn't like it. So when, you know, push came to shove, I was just like, eh, this wasn't for me. You know what I mean? And so I didn't enjoy that suck. And honestly, I did enjoy practice. I just didn't enjoy going to class and or practice. And so I wanted to please my mom and get that prestige. So I wanted to be a doctor. But, you know, I regret not playing, chasing the football thing. I really do. But it is what it is. That's part of life, right? We have our regrets. We have our things that we do in life. But for me, I tried to protect myself and to tell me that, you know, that I could have done, you know what I mean? I am quitting because, you know, of this excuse, or I'm quitting because of that excuse. But realistically, I quit because it was difficult. And once I realized that for myself, now I'm trying, it's like it opened my mind a little bit. I feel clear, like the weight of the world is off my shoulders because now I know what my biggest flaw was. I was quitting because it was difficult. This is why I also have my apprehensions of being a father. It's like I wanted to blame it on a lot of other things. And granted, those things are legitimate reasons, but I know that it's going to get difficult. And so I started to run and prepare myself to run instead of facing it because I knew it was going to be tough. And so I'm glad my girlfriend kind of, you know, called me out on that bullshit because it really opened my mind. And now that, you know, I know what the issue with me is, I can kind of work my way into fixing it, so to speak. And I'm not saying that I'm afraid to be a dad, but I am afraid to be a dad. And I'm afraid to be a husband because it's a major change in my life. It's a new stressor. You know what I mean? To be a husband, now I got to be responsible for another human being. And now I'm really going to have to be another responsible for another human being because this human being, I can't fend for itself for the first 18 years of its life, I guess. You know what I mean? So it's like now every choice that I make is not a me choice. It's a we choice. It's like, you know, I have to make a choice now. And it's going to – every choice that I make now is going to affect me, my future wife, and my kid. And it's – it's a lot of pressure, but it's a pressure that I don't mind anymore because now it makes me think more clear. It makes me focus and have a little bit more clarity in life, I guess. So, you know, that was one of the best things my girlfriend could have said to me that night. Excuse me. But yeah, I really appreciate her for bringing that up to me because I've been afraid of change in my entire life because I'm a person, most people are, but I've been like a person that's like usually when I get into a good groove, I kind of tend to stay in that groove for a long time. You know what I mean? It's the same reason why I'm down here in West Virginia still. I could have went anywhere else and pursued this MMA thing, but I stayed here because I'm comfortable here. You know, I chose the smart route because I'm comfortable with those things. Those are things that I know, you know, so putting myself out there is not something that I enjoy doing. And even doing this podcast, I still feel a little apprehension about it. But, you know, it's a learning experience, I guess you could say. So you can't be afraid to put yourself out there because, yeah, you're going to fall flat on your face, but somebody's going to pick you up and dust you off. And if nobody else picks you up, you pick yourself up and dust yourself off. You know what I mean? You always, in the end, you always have you. And you're going to be the biggest cheerleader that you have for yourself until somebody else comes along and then proves otherwise that they're the biggest cheerleader for you. And it will happen. That day will happen. I never thought I would have my personal cheerleader, but lo and behold, look what I got. I got a decent, well, not decent. I got a wonderful woman by my side, and I got a kid that's going to be in this world and that's going to probably hopefully be as awesome as I am. Probably not, because I'm the most awesome thing ever. But, you know, I'm excited I'm excited for this new adventure. I really am. And the fact that I've learned that I quit things when it's hard kind of puts things into perspective for myself. So, you know, I hope that, you know, you guys can kind of look in the mirror and be honest with yourselves as well, because if I can quit something, I know there's other people out there. Trust me, the world is big and, you know, there's a lot of us out there. There's 7.2 billion earthlings on this planet. Okay, so one person doesn't go through anything alone unless it's statistically speaking, nobody's going through any one thing alone. There's always going to be somebody else that's going through it as well as you are. So we're all connected in that sense, I guess, you know, but overall though, things are going to get difficult in life. You know, once we like what we're doing and we're striving to achieve, being stressed out is kind of easily handled, is what I've learned. Because, like I said, once I decided to be an MMA fighter and I really enjoy MMA fighting, man, I'm telling you, it's super easy for me to just kind of be like, okay, this is just another thing I have to overcome. Done. You know what I mean? But if this was like something I didn't like, I probably would have bitched and complained about it for the longest time. My girlfriend would attest. I will bitch and complain for the longest time until something happens. Either I fix it or, you know, something else comes along and fix it for me, you know? So it also brings into the idea that I always preach, do something that you love, because when you do something that you love, you can handle the stresses of that thing a little bit easier than you would, anything else that you didn't like so much. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I hope that made sense because I just kind of spat that out there. But anywho's, it's necessary to go outside of your comfort zone because it gives you a whole new perspective on life and things to come. Because once we get too comfortable with something, we start to or tend to get these narrow lenses in life, right? We always view things through one aspect of things, and it's not good, because when you problem solving, you need multiple angles and multiple views and stuff like that to kind of get a big picture of what's going on. And if you have like a little telescope to kind of give you one little picture, you don't realize that the fucking galaxy is like 10 million times that size. You know what I mean? So it's always good to go outside of your comfort zone. So this is the flaw that I discovered about myself. And since I discovered it, I'm trying my damnedest to make it better, I guess you could say. I really am working on trying to make myself better, because I'm trying to grow as a human being and as a man. Because like I mentioned in that one podcast on Saturday, that I'm trying to get all my demons out and conquer all of them before my kid shows up, because I don't want to screw my kid up. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to get all of these crap out of the way, so that way I can just be a fun-loving, strict, disciplinary, rough housing with my kid dad, I guess, you know, and kind of enjoy the kid and help it grow through life and do, you know, chase its dreams and, you know, accomplish its goals and whatnot. Whether it's a boy or a girl, I don't care. I just want a happy, healthy baby so that I can, you know, have fun with, because this is a new experience for me, and I'm still tripping out over the fact that I'm going to be a dad. I'm still tripping. To me, it's an amazing, amazing thing, because I was so against this for so long. And here I am, going to be a dad. I discovered a flaw. Well, my girlfriend pointed out a major flaw. And once I've discovered this flaw now, I'm trying my damnedest to make it, to correct it, I guess you could say. So, you know, life is going to throw obstacles in your way, man. Once you discover that you want to do something, life will test you. It's like, how bad do you really want this? And I'm being tested on a day-to-day basis with a lot of my choices and whatnot. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm doing this podcast so I can continue to fight personally, positively, and correctly for me, myself, for me, my girl, and my kid. You know what I mean? It's still kind of selfish to think that way. But, you know, I want to be the best husband and the best father that I can be, as well as the best brother, friend, son, nephew, all this other stuff. But, you know, I'm trying to make myself the best version of Vladimir Jean-Philippe that I can be, so that I can be the best husband and best father that I can be to my future spouse or future wife and my kid. So yeah, don't be afraid to push yourself, guys. That's what I want to leave you guys with. Don't be afraid to push yourself, because holding yourself back is placing limitations on yourself, and you don't want to place limitations on yourself. Maybe that's why, you know, we're so scared of growing as individuals, because, you know, we're afraid of what we can possibly achieve and what the recognition that comes with that is, I think, is what we're mostly afraid of. So don't be afraid. Push yourself to the absolute limits of your abilities. And, you know, trust me, I believe in you. I mean, if I can believe in me, if my girl can believe in me, I believe in you guys. All right. I'll spread that love out forward. I spread that love forward, and hopefully you guys can, you know, find some reprieve in this and some motivation in this podcast as well. So with that being said, thanks for listening to me rant for the past 45 minutes or so. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And always remember, Vlad loves you. And this is Guys at the Roundtable. You could always send your thoughts, concerns, and comments to guysattheroundtable@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at GOTRpodcast. Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/GOTR podcast. Consider being a Patreon at www.patreon.com/guysattheroundtable. And you can listen to these podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. Just go to the search bar and type in Guys at the Roundtable, and we'll pop up to iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud. I think we're on there as well. And some other places. I can't remember all the places we're at, but wherever you listen to podcasts, just type in Guys at the Roundtable and we should pop up. But yeah, thanks for rocking out with me, guys. If we're ever on live, if you ever catch us live, 347-934-0036 is the number. Hit us up, and I would gladly have a conversation with you guys. And yeah, peace. Vlad loves y'all. This is Guys at the Roundtable. I'm Vlad. I'm out.
Thank you for joining Guys of the Roundtable. Head to GOTRpodcast.com for more. Thanks for listening.